Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the CS School podcast. My name's Grace Gupta, and I'm a copywriter here at Customer Success Collective. The objective of this podcast is simple. We speak with CS professionals from all over the world, learn about the hottest topics in customer success by stripping them back to basics and discovering how best to apply these strategies. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Shane Ketterman, an Enterprise Customer Success Manager at Simple Texting. For those you don't know, Simple Texting is a leading platform for sending mass text message campaigns and connecting one-on-one with your customers. Shane has a lot of experience with many facets of technology, customer success, and business. He has experience working for startups, small enterprises, and fast-growing corporations, and his specialties and passions are customer success, solution architecture, inspiring people, training them, and ongoing learning. Well, hi, Shane. Thank you so much for coming on to the CS School podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great so far. It's a sunny Thursday. I'm excited. I'm very excited for the week ahead. Absolutely. The end of the week.
Me too. Absolutely. So you've come on this podcast and I'm really, really excited about this topic because it's something that you see a lot about it spoken about on LinkedIn and it's a big central part of customer success, you know, outcome-based thinking. But to kick things off, let's always, you know, I like to open things up with explaining what we're talking about first. I think, you know, for any new listeners who maybe a bit, you know, want to maybe demystify this term or just for clarity for this episode, I'd like to ask in your words, like, what is outcome-based thinking and why has there been such a big boom of this topic, this strategy? Because I know customer success is in the outcomes business, but how do you act on that sort of buzzword? Well, how do you really bring, you know, it's all well and good saying outcomes focused, but what does that actually mean?
Yeah. well, actually that's fascinating because I think there's a couple things there. Where it comes from is outcomes-based selling, which is kind of a selling technique a lot of people use, selling value instead of, you know, selling a product or a, you know, a feature. So in customer success, outcomes-based thinking is similar to that. It's kind of selling, in a way, an outcome, meaning a business goal. So it's more about focusing on their business and their goals and making it about them and focusing far less on the product and any of its features. That's where it comes from.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how would you say that kind of operates in like maybe a company that is perhaps product-led growth, you know, like where the product is the focus? How does a customer success manager, head of customer success, whoever, you know, is there like a bit of sort of a barrier then with those sort of schools of thought or those sort of approaches to business?
I think there can be, though I think they can both live together because if you look at it as if you're product led, product first, you have to imagine that the customer is probably not product first. They're really focused on, you know, what's in it for me. And I know that sounds more salesy, but when you're talking about outcomes, you're really talking about the very beginning of the process, right? During onboarding and adoption. And this is like a critical inflection point, making sure that even if you're product led, like you were saying, it's still, you can actually find those nuggets of value because that's really what's going to drive the customer forward. That's really what they're there for. They're not really there for the product.
Yeah, of course. No, that's great. Thank you. And would you say, like, in your experience, how would you say this sort of, if we can call it a shift, this sort of shift to outcome-based success, like, how has that changed way sort of businesses operate, you know, SaaS businesses and, you know, I guess traditional business models as well, you know, should be, I guess, adopting this kind of thought, you'd think.
Yeah, it's an interesting shift. I like you were saying, if we can call it a shift, I don't know if it's necessarily so much as a shift as more of a progression towards, you know, there's this idea out there, right, of first, second, and third generation CSM. And third generation, if that's what we want to call it, is more about this outcomes-based world. And so what's interesting is it can be a very tough concept for a lot of CSMs and even the companies that they support, because you're really talking about so far out of the box thinking. A really good example of that is, you know, I may be, you know, a CSM for a product that is, you know, let's say lead generation. Mm-hmm. And you would think that the product is supposed to help the customer generate leads, which is true. However, the customer in their mind, they may be looking for far more than just that, right? So as you get into it with the customer, you might find out that, well, they actually, yes, they do want to generate leads, but why do they want to generate leads? Well, they want to generate leads because, you know, they have this, maybe this really difficult industry they're trying to get into. Now, as it turns out, you as a CSM, you might have knowledge of that industry they're trying to get into. You can help them with advice and tips and almost be like a business consultant. That's a whole different, it's a shift in thinking of, I'm not just sitting here supporting this product that I'm a CSM for. I need to broaden my mind out and be more of like a business consultant.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes total sense. And I think I was just thinking when you were talking about that, it's outcomes-based thinking. It's something, I guess, that really the whole business should be considering always. Like, I know lots of, you know, this is something that crops up a lot in like the CS communities, you know, customer success should be a business-wise strategy. It's not just a department. So for a customer success manager or even like a VP of customer success, I imagine it's quite a challenge to get the rest of your company, your organization on board with this kind of mindset, this outcome-based thinking. So how would you, in a CS position, how would you best communicate the benefits of outcomes-based thinking, you know, in the sense of how would, you know, if you were talking to the CEO, for example, or talking to another department, you know, you say, this is why it's good for the customer and this is why it's good for our business, you know, trying to get the rest of, I guess get buy-in on this kind of way of thinking.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, that's very interesting. I think one way, first and foremost, like one way is a bit of education for the team, just educating the team on, you know, what is this? Because you just don't want to throw it at people and say, hey, we're just going to be doing this, you know, educating them. That's at the team level. So educate your team on, hey, you know, we as a company have industry knowledge. We're not just CSMs. We also are pretty much, you know, consultants. So start thinking that way. And I think if you start at the team level on helping people understand what is consulting, what does that mean to be consultative? And what does it mean to be able to share that knowledge? Now, that said, how can you do that? Well, there's so many resources out there for education for your team. I'm a massive proponent on educating your team. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's courses. Maybe that's bringing in somebody to do it, like for a whole day session. But really invest in that is so important. When you start moving up to different levels of your company, that's where things get a little more interesting, because it's not really about, now you have to talk more numbers, right? So one way to convince maybe a VP or like you said, the CEO, let's talk about like hard numbers, like churn. They're really interested mostly in like churn reduction and, you know, your monthly recurring revenue and the metrics that we all know. Mm-hmm. So frame it in that context.
Okay.
And make a direct connection. Say, hey, if we are able to get our customers, you know, more sticky by, you know, selling this value and showing that win, they will expand. They will, you know, we will decrease our risk of churn. That's a huge way to sell that.
I like that. So almost translating it to the way that you're in, you know, whether it's sales or the CEO, what they want to hear, and sort of framing it in that way to make it a bit more manageable rather than just some sort of, oh, there's this new strategy, this new way of thinking, you know, rather than,
And I'm always careful to do that too, because if I were to say that, oh, there's this new thing or there's a shift or something,
you're going to get told to jog on, aren't you? It's just going to be like, brilliant.
And yes, exactly. It's like, oh, well, how many other things are we going to try to get this right? You know, it's like that kind of a lot of companies just don't have the resources to try things just on a whim. So you really need some hard, like, and it's a challenge, right? If you're a team, a CSM team, or you're a CSM manager or a lead, you can't, if you don't have anything to show, you can't really come and prove this. So one thing that's helpful is, and I've actually found this, so being a part of customer success communities, right, is a really big way to connect with other people at those levels and ask them, has this worked for you? What's some data you have? Can you share any, you know, case studies with me? If you're at a company where you can't just try this kind of thing. What I've found though, is most teams are able to, especially when it comes to churn reduction or expansion, they have a little leeway to try some things and prove, you know, track it and say, wow, this is really working. I can see it because our churn rate reduced by X.
That's really interesting. Interesting also in talking about communities, this hasn't been published yet, but we're currently in the works, the state of customer churn. And through a survey we did, we found out that over 60% of customer success companies don't have a dedicated community. And it just seems like an absolute, like a real loss there. I feel like there's a really good opportunity to also interact with your customers as well, and hear what they're thinking. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. I thought it's just, we're seeing more and more communities, you know, as well as a customer success collective community as well. But yeah, just thought it was interesting. Lovely. I think I wanted to ask, so we touched on how important it is to have like hard facts to show the value of outcomes-based success. So I guess data plays a huge part in, I guess, communicating that with other departments. Would you say, what kind of role would you say customer success teams play in driving business outcomes? You know, and how would you measure the success of these outcomes? You know, do you have any examples of this?
Yeah. I do have some examples. One example is, you know, so, and I examples are like hard because obviously it's specific to my role and the product we have. So it's not, but one example I can give is this. So if a customer comes to us and I'm onboarding, the key point after, so onboarding is, you know, typically, and it's done in different in many organizations, so I'm going to be more generic with this. Typically onboarding is done kind of with sales. Now I know a lot of companies don't do it that way. It's like after sales,
mm.
a lot more moving into like a blend where the CSM is introduced right into the sales process early so that the customer has familiarity, yeah. right? So regardless, if you're looking at this situation where the CSM is introduced with sales, let's call that onboarding.
Mm.
It's a critical moment in that customer's eyes, right? We all know that. But it's also a critical moment for the CSM to put on this investigative hat, right? I want to investigate what this customer is telling me that this is my use case. But underneath that is something else. There's something else driving why they're there. And so what I do is I ask a lot of questions. I say, well, why do you want to achieve this? Okay, great. Well, why do you want to do that? Like, what is the driving thing? If you can unearth, and a great example, I'll give you an example. We had a customer come who said, I've heard about this business texting thing. And our CEO heard it from a friend and thought that it would be a really cool way to hire people. And so when I heard that, I was like, okay, all right. Well, what's going to happen if they can't hire people? They're not going to use the product.
Right.
So I asked more and more questions. I said, so tell me what it is that you are really struggling with. As we peeled away the layers, right? It's like an onion or something, an egg. I don't know. You're peeling away these layers. As we peeled away these layers, we got down to the point of, hey, we're in a very difficult industry. We're in the trade industry. People don't want to come and work in this industry anymore. We're having a difficult time getting them on an interview. And I was like, okay, now we're getting at something. So in my head, in the back of my mind, I'm literally constructing in my head, okay, you're telling me that you're having a difficult time hiring. What do I know as me? What can I learn to help you hire people in the trade industry? And mind you, this whole time, we're not even talking about the product anymore, right? I'm getting them excited at the possibility of hiring. So what they told me is they hadn't hired someone in 6 months.
Right.
Okay. Because it was so difficult. So I finally said, tell me this. If we're going to use this tool, texting, that's great. But have you asked any of your current staff how they would want to receive this? How, what they would be interested in if they were texting in to learn about your company? And the stakeholder, she was like, no, I haven't. And I said, how about you do it? Go ask them. And she got all excited. She's like, oh my gosh, this is like homework. I've got research. And I was like, exactly. Go do that. Go ask them. And she did. And they came and they told her all this. She was so excited. She's like, hey, Shane, let's get on a Zoom call. I got to share all this data with you. I mean, literally, she was excited. And, you know, here we are, we're talking about like CSMs having a difficult time reaching out to their customers, right? This customer was telling me to get on a Zoom. She's like, yeah. She's like, you won't believe what I learned. And I'm like, I want to know. Tell me. So she tells me, and you know, as it turns out, they kind of want to know what's the pay range.
Sure.
They were like, every time I see a job thing, I don't know the pay range. And so it was so simple. So I said, well, then let's put that in the text. Let's put the range in there. And I told her, and she also said, well, they feel like they're just hanging often. They don't know what's going on. I said, then let's do this. Get them on a call immediately. Use like Calendly.
Mm.
Like get them on a call, a 15-minute pre-call. And she was like, oh my gosh. So this whole time, mind you, we still have not talked about the product. all we talked about is ways to help them hire people and actually get people on a call. So now we tie the product to it, right? Finally, this whole thing rolls out and boom, in a week, they've got three like in-person interviews.
Oh, great. So it was really about, if I heard that right, it's really about you identifying what the value, even before you spoke about the product, you kind of tapped into what they needed. What they needed on a, rather than just shoveling in the product, which, because if you had taken that approach and if you hadn't had that conversation with the customer, you probably wouldn't have, I don't know, it might not have, how do you think that would have worked out if you'd have?
I can tell you how. It would have gone like, hey, thanks for signing up for our product. Mm. Here's the features of it. Here's our platform. You can do A, B, C, and D with it. And I can help you, adopt these features of the platform.
Mm.
You can do all these things with texting, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And this will help you, reach out to people and get them hired. So I'll check back in with you as you, progress. Now, does that sound that's a typical thing though?
Yeah, it just sounds quite cold, doesn't it? Unless it just doesn't.
So here's Grace sitting here going, okay, great. Thanks, Shane. You were I loved you.
It was fine. It was just fine, but not wasn't like, it wasn't because, blow your socks off, didn't it?
Right. Okay, I got it. I saw the product. Yeah, it's really easy to use. That's fantastic. And so that you're left to, now I'm putting the burden back on you actually to come up with this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's
I can't do it that way.
No, definitely. Yeah. It seems like a bit of a crazy way to just not nurturing that customer and not with their best interest at heart.
Yeah. And it's a slippery slope, right? Like, okay, so I'm not a hiring expert. I'm not a recruiter.
On the record, you're not a recruiter.
Yeah. On the record, I'm not a recruiter. Perhaps had I been a recruiter, because some people could say, well, you're not in the recruiting industry, so how do you know what to recommend to people? And I'm like, well, you just have to have this mindset of, well, A, I can learn.
Yeah.
I can learn. And B, it's sometimes not about that. It's just about people. This is a people thing, right? Yeah. If I was selling a medical SaaS product, am I going to be able to tell a physician how to do something? No. But I can relate and I can learn and I can bring it back to business.
Yeah, sure.
So to your point, Grace, you said something about data and I just wanted to hit on that. How does that case study help a CSM team?
Mm.
So what you do is this. If I now go back, first and foremost, I can email that customer right now and get a response within a few minutes. That actually is really important to know. That's a measurement because most of the time, and you'll see this in the CSM communities, a lot of the questions revolve around, hey, how can I get my customer to respond to me?
Hmm.
Okay, give them a reason. So, it takes hard work. It's not magic. It's hard work to build these relationships. So from a data point of view, how fast that response time with your customer is really important. And I don't think we measure that enough, but it's really important. The other data piece is, okay, talk to this customer. Say, hey, if you are finding this successful, would you, do a case study with us? Would you do a success story? If the customer said, yeah, let's do it. That's a huge win for your company. Like, we're that in and of itself can help reduce churn. All of these little things. And I guess what I'm speaking to is these are more soft things, not hard things. And that's why it's also tough to sell, but they matter. They really matter.
So yeah, just like, for sure. With when you've got case studies, I mean, that's something that the rest of the company in different departments can, you know, jump on. Like, you know, me and in marketing, that's a huge win. That's something that you can really like shout from the rooftops. So yes. Kind of, I guess, feeding it. Yeah, that's really interesting. Like feeding that sort of outcomes, the success of the outcome thinking and sort of disseminating it around the rest of the company. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just thinking about what you touched on before. I think we both spoke about it, saying obviously outcomes-based success is really the only, it's not the only way, but it's like you, the situation you described, that's the way better version of that scenario than not really thinking in an outcomes-based thinking way. So it's not necessarily something that perhaps every customer success team around the world does, which is a bit of a shame. So if somebody in a team is trying to get sort of outcomes-based thinking, that outcomes-based approach, you know, to be adopted wider in their team, like, you mentioned education, but are there any like pitfalls they should look out for? Do you think that you've noticed, you know, is it maybe like internal barriers? Would you say that's a big one?
Yeah. I think one big pitfall is this. And this is a challenge for any team, right? Is balancing the amount of time you spend with the customer, right? I mean, we have high touch, low touch, tech touch. We have all these other, you know, segments, way we segment customers. But I think one important thing is it's really hard to balance the, you know, the amount of time you can spend on this, because you're not a full-blown consultant. Like, you're not, can be, I suppose, but you also have other customers, right? And then you have new customers. And so that's a challenge. Time management is a challenge when you're doing this, because you have to find that balance of, hey, I need to do this well and effective, but I also need to respect that I've also got other things going on. Because if your customer relies on you too much for everything, that can also be like this strange kind of toxic relationship, right? It's like, oh, hey, Grace, I need to do this. Oh, Grace, I need, you know, so there's this boundaries and expectations, I guess. And I think somebody said it really well, is set expectations often and early. So deliver that value, but also know, you know, set those expectations with the customer that, hey, look, you know, I've also, you know, this is not like an open door to just, you know, constantly be, you know.
Yeah.
One big
manage expectations. Yeah, that seems hugely important. I was just thinking at Simple Texting, I mean, for the case that you just previously described about helping the trade, was it the trades?
Trade industry
customer. How many customers do you help like that, or how many, you know, clients do you help like that at one time? You know, I'm just curious to know from your perspective, you know, how, like, because that sounds like quite a full-on approach. You know not every customer is going to have that, like you said, you know, you'll be high touch, low touch, but you know what, yeah, just trying to think how what that looks like for you on like a, you know, day-to-day, week-to-week basis. Does it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we're not currently segmented by industry. So, you know, I could be working with a real estate customer one day, and then the next day, you know, somebody in like a construction industry. So but I would say, you know, I handle these customers are more, I would say high touch.
Yeah.
Certainly. And they definitely need a little bit more not necessarily handholding, but more insight into how this can help them. So I look at this as, I call them strategy calls.
Mm.
And so I do several a week, okay. You know, strategy calls. But again, it's a balance. Like, I will say one thing. I usually try, if possible, not to do these like back to back.
Yeah.
Because then I feel as if I will lose, I won't give the customer everything they should have if I was trying to do that.
For sure.
I spread them out. Yeah. But several a week.
Several a week. Okay, cool. That's more for me, really. Me being a layman. I'm just curious. I'm sure everyone else listening to this. Everyone else listening to this is probably like, yeah, I don't care. That's just for me.
Exactly. They're gonna be peaceful listening, going, "Wow, I do like, you know, 50 a week," or somebody goes like, "Oh, you get one of."
It's all relative, though. Like, it's also entirely based on, like, yeah, I know this has been said so many times, but obviously no company and no customer success team are the same. So it's, but it is helpful to hear, just, I think, the perspective. I think people do want, you know, people are obviously curious and they want to, you know, but.
Yeah. I try hard, because when there's a handoff to a new customer, I try really hard. I'm not on Zoom when that happens, or I'm not in person with them, right? Because the handoff, it just happens, right? And so I try as best as I can to get the customer so excited about this strategy call. I really try hard to get them like, I'm just, even in my email, the language, you know, is like, let's go. We've got, you know, let's do. Like, I get them excited. Like, I want them to like feel like they just, you know, got something that is going to really help them. So,
Yeah, because you also want them to think, obviously, you want the product to be valuable, but you also want them to feel like they don't want to look at their calendar and think, oh, got that to do. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, maybe they do. And I get it. I mean, the funny thing is, we're all customers of something. All of us are. And it really is. We forget that often. I think it's easy to forget, but I think about it all the time. Like, I'm a customer, and how do I feel when somebody reaches out to me? I'm like, I just want to use this. I don't want to deal. You know what I mean? So it's tough, but you have to also imagine that your customer is not sitting there thinking about you and your strategy call.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I completely, yeah. Interesting you said that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this episode has given our listeners, I don't know, a bit more insight into what actually, I think it has, because I certainly have learned a lot about outcomes-based thinking. And funnily enough, you're presenting on this topic at our upcoming Customer Success Festival in Las Vegas, aren't you?
Yes, I'm really excited about it. It's going to be on this topic, and also I'm tying in like this idea of relationships at scale.
Ooh.
So kind of putting the two together and showing people through case studies how to expand relationships, because, you know, it's a struggle that a lot of teams have on how to scale those relationships when they're dealing with so many customers from maybe so many regions or so many just volume. So yeah, so I'm going to use case studies to dive more into outcomes and more into the relationships. How do I create these sticky relationships?
That sounds great. Yeah, I think if this episode's been anything to go by, I think it's going to be a pretty special topic, a pretty special session even. I also just wanted to ask quickly, why do you think, you know, there'll be lots of other sessions at the festival, and some really, really good ones, some great panel discussions. Why do you think it's important that customer success professionals of all sorts of levels of seniority, why is it important that they step away from the day-to-day office grind and go to events like this? Do you think, you know?
Oh my gosh. I'm just going to say this. I did work in the event industry for a while, and I love it. Yeah. So I am such a huge proponent of events. I can't even say it. Like, and I mean like getting together. It is so important on so many levels. Like, first of all, the education, right? Mm. I will literally sit through all the sessions. Maybe I think I know the topic, but you pick things up from people that you just, these little nuggets, you can't get this just by sitting there, like listening to, so you got to see somebody, like you got to, and then maybe perhaps you're sitting next to someone and you say, Oh, hey, you know, nice to meet you. I'm Shane. And they're like, and maybe you discover you guys have similar roles and you can talk and you can, like, you know, and then there's, you know, all the networking things where you just meet people. It's, and this happens all the time, right? In the old days, right? You used to like exchange a business card, like, it's like, yeah.
With your Rolodex. I'm like,
in a QR code? Is that what? So, but now, like, it's like you change, you know, exchange LinkedIns, and you never really know who you're going to meet. And that's the beauty of it. And somebody could say, hey, I have a question for you. I've been struggling with this, and or whatever. Or the whole thing is about a human connection that is so important. Mm. I'm just a massive proponent of it. And I wish we could do more of these, because I think that when you walk away from these, most people say, wow, I am so glad I did that. I made friends. I met new people. I've got this whole, you know, somebody I can reach out to now or whatever. So, yeah.
Well, obviously, that sounds like a ringing endorsement for everyone to get their tickets and go to the Customer Success Festival in Las Vegas.
Yes.
You heard it.
I would say go to all of them if you can. If I could go to all of them, I would.
Oh, I think that's all we've got time for today, Shane. But thank you so much for such an enjoyable episode. It's been a real treat. And I think all listeners, or for me especially, just even just this recording, but I think for listeners as well, I think we've touched on some really, like, really interesting parts and actionable parts as well of outcomes-based thinking. I will say that. I will get that right. You've said it as many times as we have today. It's been great having you on, and thank you so much. So if anybody, you know, was particularly struck by this, or perhaps wanted to talk to you more about outcomes-based thinking, you know, ahead of your presentation, where would be the best place to find you? Would it be LinkedIn, Slack? If that's all right. Just nominated your...
TikTok. No, I'm just kidding. watch Shane talk about outcomes-based thinking as he dances. I'm just kidding. On LinkedIn is the best place, and it's just my name, Shane Ketterman. Honestly, I don't know if there's another one. And if there is, I don't know what to say.
I'll link it in the podcast notes, don't worry. I'll link it in the
podcast notes. Exactly. Yeah. Like Shane-.
There's a way around that.
If anybody listening is on in one of the customer success, communities, mm-hmm. you can find me there. That's usually the best place. That's the best.
Sounds great. We'll get all of those links in the podcast notes. So, but anyway, thank you so much, Shane. Again, thank you very much. And you have a lovely rest of your day.
You as well. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out our other episodes and go to thecustomersuccesscollective.com for even more customer success related content. You can also join our global community on Slack, and you can find the link to that on the CSC website. But until then, see you next time.